Waddle and Sylvie.
Hey, who wants to have some fun?
Afternoons from 2 to 6.
I do.
On ESPN Chicago.
Now, are you just saying you want to have fun, or do you really want to have fun?
I think fun is what this weekend is going to be. 3 days in a row, not sure if it could get any better. You've got this round of the divisional playoffs, Saturday and Sunday, two games each day. And then you don't have like the Monday blues because the national championship game is on Monday.
It could be better if we hit our 10-team teaser and we could do the dance of victory right around here.
Well,
I
wasn't talking about results-based. I'm talking about on the surface.
Well, that's fine. I'm going to enjoy the games. And if I enjoy the games with a little extra cash in my pocket, that makes it even better.
Five games that are all really, really good.
I'm in.
And we're going to be carrying the national championship game on Monday. So here's the way they stack up. First game of the playoffs you get on Saturday. Minnesota's at San Francisco.
Yep.
The 49ers, as of right now, are a 7-point favorite. The night game tomorrow night is Tennessee at Baltimore.
Oh, I thought you were talking Bulls at Pistons. Okay, my bad. Go ahead.
Did we forget to talk about Bulls and Pacers then tonight?
Yeah, we should. We should do that as well.
So it can get better then if we're including that. Tennessee's in Baltimore. Baltimore is a big 10-point favorite. Then there's the Son of a Mitch Bowl.
Son of a Mitch.
Where the Chiefs are a 9.5-point favorite. And then we get to the game that we're going to zoom in on a little bit right now, where Green Bay is a 5-point favorite over the Seahawks.
So, Bears fans, you're going to wrap up your Sunday. The early kick is Deshaun Watson squaring off with Patrick Mahomes, which is held for 3 hours for you. And then, more than likely, in my humble opinion, you will watch the Green Bay Packers advance to the next round of the postseason. So, it is going to be a trying Sunday for Bears fans, I'm predicting.
The first time we ever met Jason Wilde, even though we've known him for like a decade, we've had him on the show for over 10 years, but the first time we met him face-to-face was out at Lambeau Field when the Packers took on the Lions.
That's correct.
And he does great work on ESPN Milwaukee. One of our teammates, Jason Wilde, joins Waddle and Sylvie. Hi, Jason.
That's also one of the best pictures. I don't know if Waddle's camera has a like slimming setting or what, but I look incredible. I don't look that good in any other photo.
I actually had the photo blown up, and it's on my ceiling in my master bedroom, to be honest with you. I just want you to know that's how dialed into you as a teammate that I am.
Well, you're not the first.
Okay. The weather, first of all, let's talk weather. First of all, it's supposed to be nasty up at Lambeau for the game, isn't it?
Well, I don't think it's going to – now, again, I am not a meteorologist, nor do I play one on Waddle and Sylvie, so take this for what it's worth. But the forecast that we're seeing currently have us getting walloped with snow starting really sometime tomorrow and carrying in through Sunday morning about 6 a.m. So it does not appear it'll affect the game, which kicks off at 5:40 p.m. At the same time, we know weather forecasts aren't always accurate. The biggest concern the Packers seem to have, though, at the moment is making sure that they get enough people to come out to Lambeau to help shovel for like $18 an hour.
Which I never understood. I mean, I didn't know that you get paid, though. So that may change things. Because for me, one of the worst activities in the world is shoveling snow. I won't shovel my walk. I won't shovel my garage.
Why? It's a good workout.
It's heart attack stuff. It's how people die. So I don't know. Like, it surprises me that so many people line up willing to help the Packers.
Well, if you have a heart attack, you'll have made $18 and you'll have supported the team. What better way to go than to be shoveling Lambeau Field?
I don't think you want – I mean, you're as fanatical of a fan, Sylvie, as I know in certain instances, but I can imagine you probably have more people than shovels if you were asking people to come out, wouldn't you, Jason?
In Green Bay?
Yes.
You know, everything has its price.
Well, you'd have to wait a second. Yeah, I get it. You'd have to get out of the deer stand, but then grabbing a shovel, I would think you'd have more people than shovels.
Yeah, it is quite the undertaking. I guess my question is this what they do? You know, I'm a little insulated up here in professional sports' tiniest outpost. Is this what they do at other stadiums? Like, I saw it's supposed to snow a ton in Kansas City. So are the Chiefs bringing, or do they have like professional snow shovelers who handle the job and they They just hire a company to do it. I'm fascinated.
This is part of the scam that you guys have conducted with your fan base, where they think they actually own the team, so they can pull it over on them. And by saying, hey, you're a team owner, it's time to shovel your own stadium.
You know what actually happens, Jason, is the Chiefs bring Packer fans in to shovel their stadium. That's what they do. That's how they
do it. But you got to pay your own way. Yeah. You know, it's funny that, Sylvie, it's funny that you say that, because every year I have this argument. The Packers do their financial meeting because they're the publicly owned franchise. So they're the only one of the 32 that has to do this. And so they bring all of us reporters in, and Mark Murphy, the team president, is available for a Q&A session with us. And every year we debate the ticket prices, he and I, and we debate whether or not shareholders receive much of anything for basically their $250 donation that they made to buy the stock. Like, I've always argued, you know, they should get a discount at the pro shop, or, I mean, something more than just the piece of paper to show for it. But I always get blowback from a certain portion of Packers owners who say they don't care. They don't need anything for it. It means that much to them that they have a share of stock.
Well, I think it also is, listen, if you were getting crappy quarterback after crappy quarterback, you would ask for more. The fact that you get Favre and then you go into Rodgers.
That's true.
It's like, take my money. Take all of it. You won't hear from
me
ever.
We're fine paying it.
And just make sure you get the next guy in a couple of years, too. Otherwise, I am going to want some return on my investment.
When it snowed around the holidays, Waddle tried to go to Trubisky's house to snow him in the house.
I was piling snow up on his front step.
I don't know if you guys have some sort of trademark on it, if you guys were the ones who came up with the phrase, but the son of a Mitch Bowl has become, ever since I saw you guys up here in October, every time I bring that up, it gets rave reviews from that game and now the rematch. So I don't know if you were smart enough to put it on T-shirts or not, but if you would, you should have.
I just wanted to share it with the football-enjoying public is all I wanted to do. I didn't want to make any money on it. But, I mean, it really was just an internal gut feeling that when I saw what was on the schedule, the first thing you thought, I just said what everyone was thinking, son of a Mitch! And then it's going to happen again. So
we watched that draft, Jason, and we didn't know about Mahomes or Watson then, but we all watched it as a foursome.
I definitely didn't know about Trubisky, too.
You should have seen Waddle's jaw when they announced, because we went Twitter free. Abdallah was the only one who went Twitter, so he knew what the selection was going to be. And Waddle, me, and Meller did not know. And I jumped out of my seat, and I turned back to look at Waddle, and his jaw literally was on the floor.
Well, I will just say this, that there are a lot of people that I care about in Chicago and people that are really avid Bears fans. And I hope, since they've committed to him for another year, that he delivers for you guys some measure of happiness.
Yes.
Because you guys have suffered through what I did as a kid in the 70s and 80s, watching the Packers be mediocre or worse for most of my childhood and early adulthood.
Yeah. Okay, so I have spent the last probably 4 to 6 weeks of the NFL season saying probably, I know internally, but a lot externally as well, I just don't think these Packers are that good. And yet they continue to win and they're 13-3, and now they host the Seattle Seahawks. Are they that good, Jason?
Well, you know, it depends upon what your definition of good is. They're not as good as the 1996 team that steamrolled the 13-3, had a little blip in the middle of their season, and then won the Super Bowl. But they have been good enough, obviously. 8-1 in games that are decided by 8 points or fewer, so one-score games. Most times, as a team, you don't have that happen. It's more kind of 50-50 in those games. And so they have been the beneficiaries of some fortunate timing, whether it was Patrick Mahomes missing the game in Kansas City or Dalvin Cook and Alexander Mattison missing the game in Minneapolis a couple weeks ago. So I'm reluctant to go, wow, they're the worst 13-3 team I've ever seen, but they're not as good as some of the other 13-3 Packers teams I've seen, but they've had this pretty good fortune. And now here they are again in a playoff game at home against a Seattle team that has a bunch of injuries on their offensive line, a bunch of guys questionable. And then on top of that, I mean, we had Matt Hasselbeck on the show today, and he keeps stealing my joke that I've enjoyed for the past week, which is that they have in their backfield in Seattle a guy who 3 weeks ago was in the parking lot of the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum pouring tequila shots in Marshawn Lynch. I mean, yeah. That's how unfortunate. This is the number four ranked run offense in the league when they had Carson and Procise and Penny, and now they got two guys that weren't playing that have that job. And so, again, I think the Packers go into a game where they are much healthier than their opponent, and they will have more of their crucial players. And as long as they don't allow Russell Wilson to conjure up a lot of magic, they should be advancing to the NFC Championship game.
It's a perfect lead-in for my next question as we talk to Jason Wilde, who covers the Packers. We know that Russell Wilson has plenty of magic. Does Aaron Rodgers still have another gear? Because a lot of people say, well, at this age and this offense and the limited weapons, he's good, but he's not Aaron Rodgers like we're used to. Does he have magic?
Yeah, I think he does. Now, I've seen every snap he's played, right, in my career. And when I look at him, and maybe I'm blinded because of my time around him, but he does not look like a vastly different player. He doesn't look slower when he breaks the pocket to me. He doesn't look like he doesn't have the arm strength anymore, or in the case of the Detroit game, too much arm strength and has so many overthrows. The one area where I would say he looks different to me compared to early in his career is that I feel like he stepped into throws and drove the ball more than he has in the past couple of years. And I don't know if that goes back to the injury against the Bears in the opener last year, which is on his stepping forward left leg. But that's the one area where I would say he seems different to me than the guy I've covered for his entire career. Now, that said, you know, there are people that hear this quasi-convenient excuse of, well, he's not being asked to throw 40 touchdowns in a game. What's funny is I talked to Mike Shanahan earlier this week. He was on his way to San Francisco, and I was working on a story for The Athletic about the parallels between him and Elway and LaFleur and Rodgers late in those quarterbacks' careers. And he said that John Elway, while he bought into the same concept, right, because Matt LaFleur was an assistant under Shanahan in Washington. That's where his roots are. While Elway bought into the idea of not having to carry the team as much, he still was bothered when his numbers were down. Yeah. And I think Aaron Rodgers is the same way. I think he appreciates having a better defense and having a more consistent run game and Aaron Jones. But I also think it is new territory for him to not have to carry the team, because the last time this team was in the playoffs in 2016, he put that team on his back. They ran the table 8 straight games to get to the NFC Championship game. And then when he didn't have the magic in Atlanta, they got blown out of the gym.
Jason, when you talk about, you know, you're talking about maybe it was the injury that keeps him from planting and throwing with conviction. Could it be that he doesn't have as much confidence in the guys he's throwing to? And we all know that he's a high percentage, low interception guy, and he is so unwilling to make that catastrophic mistake, and he doesn't trust his receivers the way he may have in the past, that he's not willing to plant that foot and gun it into a spot if he doesn't believe his guys have a high likelihood of catching it.
No question, Tommy. I mean, and it's great that a former wide receiver can see that, because I think one of the kind of undiscussed stories, at least on a national level, because he is certainly somebody who moves the needle on all the debate shows, is you look at who he has at wide receiver, and Davante Adams is fantastic, right? He missed 4 games, still came up 3 yards shy of 1,000 yards, still productive. After that, he's got the ghost of Jimmy Graham at tight end. He's got Mercedes Lewis, who's been an okay contributor, but he's 35 years old.
Right.
And at wide receiver, he has a 5th-round pick who has caught 3 passes in the last 8 games. Marquez Valdez-Scantling has absolutely disappeared. And then the other wide receivers in the rotation are all undrafted free agents who entered the league that way. Alan Lazard has emerged as their number 2 wide receiver. This is a guy that was at the combine in 2017 being told he should become a tight end and was undrafted out of Iowa State despite leaving the Cyclones as their all-time leading receiver. They do not have, you know, I always refer back to this, but we remember up here that Sports Illustrated cover in 11 with Rodgers walking in Lambeau Field with all of these weapons right behind him, right? Greg Jennings, James Jones, Jordy Nelson, Jermichael Finley, Randall Cobb. I mean, he was surrounded with talent, and now if you did that same picture, it would be him and Davante Adams like having a cup of coffee.
It would be a lonely walk. Hey, before we let you go, I think the key to this game is the Packers' defense's ability to contain Russell Wilson when things break down, because that's when he's at his best. When you and I talked 3 weeks ago, I gave you the stat, or the presumed stat, that the Packers were like number one in the league in terms of fewest quarterback rushing yards allowed. You took me at my word. I never confirmed the stat. I still to this day believe that that's accurate. Have you been able to confirm that? Because I know that the Packers have done a great job with scrambling quarterbacks when they scramble.
I had forgotten about that. Yeah, who needs ESPN stats and information when you have Waddle stats and
just threw it out there. I was hoping.
See what happens when I'm on vacation in Mexico? He's just throwing out stats and he's then not backing up.
I think I saw that somewhere that said when Mitch was going up there, it was like, hey, you know, Mitch was coming off the game against the Cowboys, right? Where he got out on the edge and was doing dynamic things. And I was saying to people, it looked good, but the Packers are really good at containing scrambling quarterbacks. And Wildy's like, how do you know that? I go, I think I read a stat somewhere.
And then he scrolled through his Twitter feed for about 3 minutes and then said, forget it, I'm not doing
that. Sounds right.
I didn't care that much.
That's our Waddle.
To answer your question, without the statistical backup, that is the topic that they were talking about defensively. We talked to Mike Patton last night about it, and this is the two things about Russell Wilson that they're concerned about is, one, his ability to extend the play. He's just like Rodgers. He first is looking to throw the ball when he buys time, and then he'll take off. And remember, he did get sacked 48 times this year, so he's not always elusive.
Right.
And the other issue is Mike Patton told us he is the best deep ball thrower in the NFL. And so if he gets out and creates some time and then DK Metcalf opens up downfield, I think that's how the Packers lose. Remember, this is a team that in 2011 went 15-1 and looked like a juggernaut going into the playoffs, and they turned the ball over three times. We all know turnovers change games, but if they don't turn the ball over and they don't allow Russell Wilson to go over the top of them for some big explosive touchdown plays, I think they advance.
Yeah.
All right, Will, do you have a great time at the game? Enjoy playoff football. Don't take it for granted. And happy shoveling.
Thanks, Jason.
Hey, kickoff's at 5:40, Waddle, so you got 49 hours to find me that stat.
I'm going to get that stat before we sign off today. I'm going to get that.
All right, I'll believe it when I hear it.
All right,
thanks Jason.
Buddy.
All right, guys, take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde from ESPN Milwaukee, also The Athletic. But it's something that I trust you on, because when you
I'm an idiot savant when it comes to stuff like
that. Yeah, stuff like that, like you blurt it out and know it. But
think about, like, don't you think they did a nice job also containing Mitch? There were a couple of times, but what they end up doing is they limit the amount of rush they get up the field. The goal is to never get beyond the drop or the depth of the quarterback, so he can then, you know, escape through the middle. You want to stay at the same level as an edge rusher.
For three quarters, they stopped everything. You know what I mean?
Well, that was one of those games again. I know, but can you, Adam Abdallah, help me with that? Can you? Who's our stats guy?
3 weeks later. How many weeks after the Packer game is
four, this? It's 4 weeks. Five weeks.
Sean's on 290. Sean, you're on Waddle and Sylvie. Good evening.
Good evening. I got a little story about Packer Hall of Famer.
What?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you better now. What do you got, Sean?
Okay. I got a quick story about, I was in Milwaukee yesterday doing some sales and went to lunch, and they were setting up an interview with the Hall of Famer Leroy Butler there, so I really had to resist yelling Go Bears in the middle of it, but...
You should have. He's a good sport. Leroy Butler's a good.
Just named sport, a top 15 finalist for the Hall of Fame, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I maybe I should have done it. Next time.
Next time.
Okay, quick naggy play calling ideas. I got two. One, I really think they need an analytics guy that can help Nagy some of situational play calling, figuring out how to actually run the ball when he forgets to. That can be in his ear a little bit, helping him out.
Well, and they better have that in 2019.
Yeah.
I would think they have that. But, I mean, how much is he utilizing it?
Yeah, exactly. And then my other crazy idea, I never heard of this actually happening, but I think they should bring in the offensive coordinator and have him call only first down plays, again, to help Nagy when he forgets to run the ball.
A first down and coordinator.
First down plays. All first down plays are called by offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I
got an idea. Here's what I got. I say Matt Nagy turns in the Denny's menu, and he gets himself a hot dogs menu. Okay, so there's only like four or five items. Well, there's not 50,000.
Let's compare it to chicken. We just went on a Chick-fil-A run, best chicken. And what do?
They do chicken.
Are they got steak sandwiches over there?
I don't believe they do.
They got lobster tail.
I don't think they do.
Yeah, they got chicken.
I think they got chicken,
and they do it good, and they do it.
They
right.
do it big. They do it real
yeah,
big.
Yeah, and that's why they have really, really long lines, and new Chick-fil-A's are going up all over the suburbs and everything. And
how Nick
Friedel told me about this 10 years
have?
Ago.
How many options do they have at a Chick-fil-A?
You got stuff, but they know what they specialize in, and they know what they do well.
Well, I know, but, like, listen, well, you know what Matt Nagy does? He passes. But you've got 1,000 pass plays. Okay, so I mean, even if you got I need a chicken joint that only has like 5 options instead of like 400 options.
Isn't
I don't
this
know
what
how
Kurt
many they
Warner
have.
Told us?
Yes, that's
Kurt
my
Warner
point.
Said they need to scale it all back and do what they do well.
Take the Denny's menu and retire it for a menu that has fewer items to choose from on it.
Instead of be you, it should be us. What can we do? And what do we do well?
P.U. That stinks. Yeah, well, don't call that play.
Hopefully he's better, though. You and Tirico.
I'm with
in
you.
In lockstep. Yeah. One more year. And then if it stinks.
Oh, no, listen. We can just lash out like you on a play-by-play status and just keep changing things and going in a circle. Listen, I wasn't pantless running around screaming visor guy. I'm willing now, though, in 2020 to give visor guy an opportunity to pick himself up off the turf and be better at his job instead of actually kicking him in the nuts and telling him he's not allowed to call plays anymore.
By the way, we're guest-free the rest of the way for your Friday drive home into your weekend. The phone number to reach us, 312-332-3776. Anything that's on your mind on this Friday, football-wise, Bears-wise, big playoff weekend, national championship game on Monday. Also, don't forget to follow all of us on Instagram. We're big on the gram now these days. Waddle's got his personal account at TommyBoy87. I'm at Mark A. Silverman. And make this a priority that you're following on ESPN_Chicago, the brand new ESPN Chicago Instagram page. A lot of cool stuff coming your way in the new year. So make sure you're following all of us at ESPN_Chicago. Here's what you do next. You take our picks, and if it's made by Waddle and me, you fade us. If it's made by Abdallah and Meller, you play them. Like it, love it, taste of it, coming up next.
This is Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago. I love it.
Just a little taste of it. I love it. I want
some more of it. That's right. What to watch for coming up. This is Like It, Love It, just a taste of it.
Yeah, I just had a taste of a box of...
We did the Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, that's chicken crack, for a lack of a better term.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I can't stop eating it. I could eat a whole box. What is that, 30 pieces?
We had a 30-piece nugget pack.
I could eat the whole thing.
Does this surprise you, or did I read it wrong? It said a 30-pack of chicken nuggets is 970 calories total.
There's
9 servings.
No, their chicken actually isn't, as far as fried chicken goes, isn't horrible for you.
Right.
It's the best.
It's
the least.
I think I could eat an entire 30-piece
easily. Yeah. Come on, yeah.
Well, I'm not a competitive eater like you on certain fronts.
No, I'm not in a hurry, but I could, you know.
Like, I couldn't eat a whole pizza. You pride yourself on being able to eat a whole pizza.
Like, I could eat a thin crust Lou Malnati's, medium. I don't know if maybe a large. I could easily.
Well, mediums. I'm talking
a
when
bit
I
large?
Speak. Of, yeah, really.
I mean, not like the deep dish. I mean,
No.
Think the thin,
how about
really
like
good
the,
crispy
the,
crust.
The New York slice up,
no,
up north.
No, I can't do a large of that.
You can't do that.
No.
Have you tried?
It. Yeah.
Have you tried?
Close. Yeah.
And you got the pizza sweats and had to tap out.
Yeah, I had a couple of rough days. The next 2 days. Yeah.
Okay.
I felt it. Yeah.
Pizza sweats. By the way, with the help of Adam Abdallah, I have secured the information about rushing statistics with regard to quarterbacks.
4 weeks late.
What do we find out, Abdallah? That the Green Bay Packers finished fourth in the league. Not first, not second, not third, but fourth in the league in terms of rushing yards allowed to opposing quarterbacks.
And that's what you guessed, right? Or what you thought you saw?
Yeah, I thought I saw that they were at the top of the list or close to the top of the list. So send our buddy Wilde a text or a tweet, will you please?
All right, here we go. Like it, love it, just a taste of it, where Meller and Abdallah have dominated both Waddle and me.
Did I get back in last place?
No, but I did gain a point on you.
You gained a point, yes.
This is for basically the big drama here is who finishes in last.
Yeah, so Sylvie's in the rear.
First, you're last.
Huh? Sylvie's in the rear. 33 points, 19, 25, and 1 on the season.
Yeah.
Waddle has 35 points, 21, 23, and 1 on the season.
It just sounds better. 21, 23, and 1.
Oh, it's a lot better, yeah.
Meller has 48 points. He's 13 good. Points up on Waddle.
Record, 20, please.
26 and 19.
That's really good. You would have made some money if you would play.
I have 52 points. I'm 4 points up on Meller. 25, 19, and 1.
But he's got a better record than
by one game. Okay. Yeah.
Well, my statement was accurate.
I had to push. He's got the win. So technically,
half game
both
up.
Of you guys, he's a half game up.
Both of you guys would have made money if you were betting on every play. Good job.
Yeah.
Listen, it's great that at least Sylvie and I mean, there's two of us idiots peddling crappy picks. At least there's two of us. So 50% of us are peddling game-winning picks. All right?
And just know where I stand on this. Like, I will never advertise to our loyal listeners that, hey, here are my picks and you should play them. Quite the opposite. If you've played every one of my picks in the Sun-Times this year, you could be a millionaire. You need to fade me.
Well, it's a week-to-week league. Sylvie, and you were the only one that actually had a profitable week last week because all of us went 1-2. You were the only one to go 2-1.
Okay.
So,
but
I was 1-3.
I'm just trying to give you a small victory
here.
Albert
Almora goes 2-for-3 every now and then.
He's just got $1.5 million contract.
Maybe you can get a haircut.
All right, let's do this here. It's one like, one love, and one game. That you just want a taste of it. If you get your love right, you get 3 points. If you get your like right, stop eating the chicken.
I'm serious. It's like
more than just a taste of the nuggets there.
And a taste of the chicken.
Of the chicken,
And 1 point.
Of the chicken,
you know what I could use right now is a cold beer.
We've got it. You know, in our new office, by the way, there's no
fridge.
I basically have started a liquor cabinet. Don't tell our bosses.
I know, but like,
I've got a cabinet.
You're on the radio, right?
We've got, right now, this commercial, right? We're talking about chicken and liquor in our office.
Excuse me?
Chicken!
Play that in its entirety for those just getting into their car. This is Family Feud in Canada.
All right. Real simple. There's one question. Only one answer. Whoever gets it, you're playing for $10,000. That's it. Whoever guesses this wins the game. Here we go. Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken! Oh my God!
Show me chicken!
Spinach, Jerry.
What's equally funny to me is that it's called Family Feud in Canada. It's just Family Feud. It's just being shown or it's being taped in Canada.
Yeah, but the feud's a lot more polite.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, because in Canada.
The host doesn't rip them as much as Steve Harvey does.
Oh, really?
Steve Harvey
makes it hilarious.
He's a comedian. I mean,
oh, he's the best. He's great at that show.
So Boyle texted us and he said he blames the Family Feud for our craving for chicken today. For the Popeye's chicken.
Oh, it's...
Chicken!
So great. What is Popeye's favorite food? She answered chicken.
Chicken.
I love their new spicy sandwich.
It was just okay.
You just thought that was okay?
I didn't think
the spicy chicken from Popeye's?
The clip right there is hilarious.
Oh, no. The clip's awesome.
Yeah. I think the spicy chicken sandwich from Popeye's is okay. It's good.
No, I think it's very good, but not something that I would ever say.
It's not as good as Chick-fil-A's.
I'm not driving my car into through the drive-thru into the building the way others have.
It was very good, though. But I'm not saying, you know what I need right now? I need another one of those spicy chicken.
Well, it's because you had 19 of the Chick-fil-A tenders. burgers or nuggets.
That's like two sandwiches.
Now, you guys may have missed it, but actually only 54 responders said spinach of the Popeyes.
Right. And, but there was only one answer.
Well, yeah, because it was a tiebreaker. So the question is, though.
What would have been second? One answer?
I bet you it was
chicken.
That was probably second.
There's no doubt. You're right. There was only one answer.
Would the second answer be olive oil? I'm just saying.
Guys, on to like it, love it,
I think with a crappy joke like that, you got let him hang for longer than that. You came in and bailed him out way too soon. You got let him hang for longer than that. Make him come up with something to take us in a different direction. Not you.
All right, let's get on with our picks here.
All
let's
right, do since it.
Really,
I'm leading.
Really, does anyone want our picks, really?
Yeah,
yes, to
yeah,
fade.
Yeah. So I'm in the lead with 52 points, so I will go first. Gentlemen, we go
each
to...
Pick is, each pick is worth 5 points this week.
We No, it's not. Bite your damn tongue. We go to Monday.
Whoa.
The national championship game is upon us. Our long national wait is finally over. Clemson and LSU, two of the best defenses in, well, one really good defense, one okay defense. But they're both top 25 in the red zone, which will turn touchdowns into field goals. I'm going to take the under. I like the under 70. It's 70. Whoa. Under 70 in the national championship game.
A lot of points.
It's a lot of points.
Boys, I'm going to stay on Monday. We have ourselves the Clemson Tigers getting 6 points against LSU, the Tigers.
You could tease that. You could tease that up to 13.5
boys,
or 12.5.
I like the Tigers.
Very good.
Give me Clemson plus six. Give me Clemson plus six on my life.
So you're taking Clemson. Wow.
I like getting points to defending national champions.
I don't know if this scares you away from it or not, but I like Clemson as well.
Yeah, I like LSU.
So is that your like?
Here's the funny thing.
Is that your like?
No, no.
Okay.
Here's the funny thing is if I was actually gambling in the college football tournament, I would have won so far because I had both games picked correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And now I have Clemson. Like I could have won some money, and I didn't bet them.
So you'd be.
I had the Predators minus 2.5 last night. So I'm on the right side of that. My like is the Chiefs. The Chiefs are 9.5 point favorites at home against the Houston Texans. I just don't. Outside of Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins, I'm not a huge fan of what they got going on. So I'm going to take, I like the Chiefs at home, honestly.
All right, I'm going to go with the Packers. Those fans are in hog heaven. There's snow coming. They get to shovel Lambeau Field. They all think they're owners. And then on a cold Sunday, they're all in their hunting gear. And they watch Aaron Rodgers look better. Mm-hmm. Everyone's been down on him. And Aaron Rodgers will turn it up. And they win by more than four. I like the Green Bay Packers.
All right. All right, on to the loves. Gentlemen, we go to Monday again.
Shocking.
Where it's, again, like I mentioned, national championship game. Did you guys know that in the Dabo Swinney era of Clemson football, he is 8-1 against the spread as a dog in bowl games?
Yes, I did know
8-1. He's also 19-10 against the spread as a dog all time at Clemson. So I've been thinking about this back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Clemson plus six. Love it.
Wow. Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. This is also a play against the team that beat Alabama. You know that.
Listen, in a perfect world for me, when the stadium is empty on Sunday, it somehow implodes and the game doesn't get played and no one is named national champion for me, but you have to play.
Well, they just move the game to somewhere else.
No, they wouldn't.
Yeah.
You don't play it.
Gentlemen, for my love, let's go to Saturday. The Baltimore Ravens hosting the Tennessee Titans Saturday evening. And the Ravens are laying 9.5 points. They have scored the most points in the NFL, 531. They've only given up 282.
That's
a differential,
differential
of plus 241. Rested off of a bye week. I love the Baltimore Ravens to hammer the Tennessee Titans.
Do you know?
I'm laying 9.5.
How healthy is Mark Ingram? Is he going to be able to get it
done?
Doesn't
matter. Gus Edwards ready to step in.
All right, Gus Edwards. My love is the under in the Packers and Seahawks game.
Oh.
I know that the snow's going to be pushed off to the side, but it's going to be cold. And you saw how the Seahawks struggled to score last week in their win over the Philadelphia Eagles. And this is a better defense than it is offense, I think, up in Lambeau. I think the Packers, I don't know how much scoring they will do. The number's 47. I think it's a pretty big number for these two teams.
Right.
So I love the under in the Packers and Seahawks.
My love is you're like Waddle. I love the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are going to stampede Houston. Houston's very lucky to be there. Buffalo imploded. We were just talking about implosions. And, of course, Watson gave us a second half to we'll always remember. Yeah, and I just think the Chiefs are primed and ready, and I think this is their year.
Do you think they'll win the Super Bowl?
I do. I think they're going to end up beating
the
Ravens.
They're going to get past the Ravens.
Yes, okay. I do. They've got everything working right now, so I love the Kansas City Chiefs. What's your taste?
Can I get a taste of James Holzhauer coming back and winning the Jeopardy Goats? No. Can I get a taste of that? No.
Because it's already been played.
No, well, I don't know what happens.
You need two in a row is what you need.
I had insight into one of those Bachelor stories years ago.
But do you have insight into this?
I don't, but I'm just telling you that there's a way to... If you worked hard enough, you could find out.
Probably. But instead, I'll take a taste of the Packers and Seahawks under 47 as well. I like the snow games. I think these two teams, like you mentioned, this total's too high. I'll take the under in that game as well.
That's 47. I really like that.
Just a taste of it, though. Just a taste.
I like that
play. I know you loved it, actually.
Uh-huh. For my taste, I'm going to go oppo of Sylvie's like. The Seahawks getting 4.5. I know they're on the road at Lambeau, but you know what?
It's at 4.
4? I saw 4.5. I apologize. No.
You leave your rogue bookie out of this.
I apologize. Nevertheless, that's not enough to convince me or sway me the other way because I think the Seahawks may just win this game outright. You're giving me 4 points at least. I will take it. Just a taste on the Seahawks.
I hope I'm wrong and you're right because I would love to see that, but I don't know if the Seahawks have it in the tank anymore.
I'd like it just a taste of the 49ers putting it on the Vikings. 7's the number, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. 49ers getting a lot of their defensive guys back, or at least a couple of them that are very instrumental into what they do on that side of the football. And again, I'm not confident that Kirk Cousins and the Vikings can repeat in San Francisco what they did in New Orleans. So I got a taste of the Niners -7.
I will follow Meller's lead in one regard. His love is going to be my taste, the Ravens. I like the two AFC favorites. I think they're destined to play each other. I think they've been ready for this for a long time. Lamar Jackson is way better than his last playoff game. And Jim Harbaugh's got that team ready to go. John Harbaugh. And I want a taste of the Ravens. Good.
Hello? I mean, it's just a taste. I am absolutely down to second that since that's my love.
I think Lotto had chicken in his mouth.
No, I was just letting you. I didn't know if there was anything else you wanted to say.
Ross is so great on so many levels. Whenever we want chicken, we get to hear it. Whenever someone is like.
Chicken!
Whenever someone like doesn't want to do something and we want to call them a chicken, like you're being a chicken.
Chicken!
Oh, it's perfect. It's perfect.
There's so much you can do.
It's like, Sylvie, do you want to get out in this 10-team teaser?
Chicken!
I don't understand, what you guys have to have come through to make 10 plays.
Yeah.
Waddle, you can't get 50% of your plays right.
I can't get 20% of my plays
you
right.
You think you're going to hit 10 for 10 on this teaser?
That's the essence of being a gambler, bro. There always is a win right around the corner.
And you're like, this isn't like some huge payoff that you get. What would you even get if you hit 10?
$200.
$200 for a $10 investment. We call that 20 times your money. What do you mean, what do you get? 20 times my money.
Next time what you do is you need to take a $10 bill and light it on fire.
It's illegal. That's a federal offense.
Okay, that's fine.
Have Lola eat the $10
bill. No. Production idea. If we win the 10-team teaser at 2:30 on Monday, from 2:30 to 2:40, we'll just count the dollars.
Time out, though. I thought part of our 10-team teaser was Monday
okay,
night.
That's right. Tuesday. Yeah. Tuesday, we'll come in 2:30, and we'll just count
Tuesday.
The dollars. We'll just count
literally
them.
Or just in this bet?
No, in this bet. The bet will not be alive. You need to hit 8, right?
See, but this is we're taking a $10 shot at $200+. It's $10.
I think there are more ways to make $200 than that stupid 10-team teaser.
What are you going to do?
You're going to go perfect. Get out of here.
I want to know there are better ways to win to earn $200.
You could go shovel at Lambeau Field for about 8 hours.
I'd do that.
No, you would.
You wouldn't.
I wouldn't.
Well, I'm not driving 4 hours to get there, but if I lived in the vicinity, if I lived in the neighborhood.
Your hip would crap out after 30 minutes.
How do the Packers not have a snow removal team that they need to go to the residence
Wait a second.
What?
I mean, what do you mean? Like, the snow removal team, you know how many people that would take to get all the snow out of the seats?
Well, they do that in other places. Is it always like a volunteer group?
Yeah, you got Buffalo, yes, they have
what
people
happens
that
if it
they
snows
pay.
Here? We don't do it. Do we have volunteers for this?
No.
Yes.
No. What happens? No. 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 What happens is you go to Soldier Field and you get to brush off your seat
yeah,
full of
brush
snow.
Brush your seat off. Yeah. Yeah.
They treat you better at Lambeau. They're paying people to come out and make sure that your seat doesn't have a pile of snow. That's basically universally how it's done.
You get the guys that bring the cardboard to the game so they can stand on that, so they're not standing on the concrete.
I told you that when my brother and I went to the Freezer Bowl. Was it the Freezer Bowl? Is that what they called it?
Not the Ice Bowl?
Yes. No, the Ice Bowl was the Green Bay game.
Okay, I thought you were talking
the
about
Freezer
Green
Bowl
Bay.
Was, oh, in no, Cincinnati. No, Cincinnati okay. against San Diego. We brought stacks of newspaper to put our feet on
right.
instead of putting your feet on the
concrete,
cement.
Yeah. I mean, give me something, another choice, where I believe in most instances I would choose the other thing rather than shoveling. Shoveling large amounts of snow is
Shark
one of
Shark bite.
Well, no, that's not me doing something. Like, of course, if you're
swimming the English Channel. What you said something.
Come on now. A task.
A chore.
That,
a chore.
Like an average chore that people do.
Cleaning the bathroom or shoveling.
I want 100. Give me the toilet stuff. Give me like some gloves.
A good thorough
cleaning. The toilet is nothing.
No. I'm talking a good thorough cleaning. Like you have to really the whole bathroom. You got to scrub it down.
You'll take
that over shoveling.
Give me the Lysol spray. Give me the blue stuff for the mirrors.
You're making it sound like that's a difficult thing. I do that probably once a month anyway.
You clean your own bathroom?
If it needs to be cleaned,
only
yeah.
once a month.
Yeah, knowing how
well,
much
I'm not
you
the one that
it.
Does it all the time, and I do use it. My wife brought home two giant things of toilet paper, and she goes, I'm going to take these upstairs and put them away. I said, well, what are you going to use?
Very good. I don't like the extra large ones because it doesn't fit on the dispenser. Are you talking about the jumbo rolls of the toilet paper? It won't fit on
it. Then I must have had special dispensers to put it
there. How about
there.
That?
Yeah.
The waddle, it's not waddle-proof.
No, because I need more toilet paper than most, maybe.
Yeah. You want to get to what to watch for?
Oh, sure.
And then at 5, I want to talk more about the quarterbacks. Play the old game about what is your power ranking list of confidence. You know, everyone, Greeny and Golic used to do that, where they would rank the remaining quarterbacks? And give me a list, 1 through 8.
I think Dan Orlovsky did that recently.
Yeah, and who do you trust? I mean, everyone does it. I want to see how different our lists are, all right? So in the next break, I want you to come up with a list.
So it's not just which quarterback you like most. It's
not who's the best quarterback.
It's based on the situation they find themselves in.
Who you trust most this weekend against the team that they're playing.
All right.
It's a confidence thing. Let's get to what to watch for.
Waddle and Sylvie get you set for your weekend viewing with What to Watch For.
And if you want to weigh in, 312-332-3776. I can't get enough of TV recommendations. My neighbor Jeremy the other day was giving me a couple of documentaries. He just watched Don't F with Cats.
Did he like it?
Yeah, he did. He was blown away by it, as usual. Disturbed by it. It's all brought to you by Swift & Sons, American Steakhouse
in
the West Loop. In the Fulton Market District. Tonight, the Bulls are playing the Pacers. You'll probably get out of there in the third quarter and try and retire for the night. So then go to Swift & Sons. Or before the game, right now, if you're in the car and you're like, wow, I made it down to the United Center way earlier than I thought, head to Swift & Sons. Make it a date night as well. It is absolutely awesome.
I would say this to you. If I could have a redo, I would probably say I'd wait till the middle of the game. And if the Bulls are winning by a large margin, I would play in game the Indiana Pacers to win on the money line.
If you have the app where you can gamble and you can do the live in-game wagering.
Don't you think that you probably get good odds on that?
Don't you think Vegas is already ahead
of
the curve on that?
Maybe, but you could get better than...
The Bulls are one of the worst third quarter teams in basketball.
Right.
So, all right, what are you watching for, Waddle?
The morning show. I know you have to have Apple TV, but if you have Apple TV... I've now completed the full run of the 10 episodes. It was well worth the 10 hours of time, in my humble opinion. I thought it was great. If you get an opportunity to watch it, I think that you will like it as well.
Give me your favorite football game of the four with that, because we'll go TV and like one of the four football games.
I would say the one that I'm probably most interested in is watching Deshaun Watson square off
the
with
son
Patrick
of a Mitch
Mahomes.
Ball. Yeah, it's really good.
Now, I say that. But I'm also, you know how big a fan I am of the 49ers game plan and the, how they run their plays with Kyle Shanahan. So I'm really excited to see the Vikings against the 49ers as well and see whether or not Kirk Cousins can stack a couple of really clutch performances back to back.
On paper, I don't think, I know they're big spreads, but I'm looking forward to all four of them for sure. Here's what I'm doing when I go home. I don't think you've watched it yet, Waddle. I've heard great things about the movie Parasite. Won an award at the Golden Globes last week.
Awesome.
We get it because we vote on the SAG-AFTRA awards. We're in the same union, believe it or not. Waddle and me are in the same union as George Clooney.
No doubt.
And all these actors.
Absolutely. Why not?
So we get the screeners. So I've got the DVD at home. And Parasite is a movie about social class, right? Something to that effect. But it's Korean. And it's got subtitles, which I'm good with. I'll focus. I'll have the house to myself. My wife is working tonight, and the kids will be in bed. And I'm going to put my feet up, have the Bulls game on a different TV, and I'm going to focus on
Parasite. Will there be subtitles on the Bulls game?
No, I don't think so. I don't need subtitles. You know Neil and Stacey are going to be saying, this officiating is terrible. Everything going against the Bulls right now. He barely touched him, Stacey. In the meantime, it was Zach LaVine like hacking him right on the elbow, making it obvious. And they're going, what a terrible call that was.
Oh, yeah.
What are you guys watching for?
Sylvie, you tell people that you're in the same union as George Clooney. I tell them that I'm in the same union as Waddle and Sylvie. And because of that, I have to highly recommend, I really thoroughly enjoyed Ford vs. Ferrari. I didn't expect to love it as much as I did, but it was really excellent, so I would highly recommend that. And as for the football games, I don't think you can really go wrong with any of them, but I just cannot wait until Liverpool and Tottenham kick off at 11:30 tomorrow.
No Harry Kane, though.
Harry Kane-less Tottenham, which is better for all us Liverpool fans.
What a day you have, then. If you're really looking forward to that, leading into the first game and then the second
football
game.
Football and football.
It is a smorgasbord of football.
What?
A smorgasbord?
I know. I don't think he said it.
A smorgasbord?
Smorgasbord.
Is that Borg?
Whatever. Bjorn Borg. Smorgasbord.
Say it again, Miller. Do it again.
Smorgasbord?
Say it again.
Smorgasbord.
Smorgasbord? What'd you say? What'd you say?
You heard me.
What'd you say?
A smorgasbord.
You sound like a Muppet
a what?
In there. What did you say?
Hey, what's Ford vs. Ferrari? That's my recommendation.
Well, I'm going to give a recommendation that the common folk can watch because they're not in the SAG union.
It's
in theater. Yeah, I guess. Oh, yeah. Go to the theater if you want to.
Just join the union.
But if you want to, there's something on premium cable. So I guess it's not from a lot of the common folk. HBO on Sunday night after football, if you want to, I guess. The Outsider starts, and it's Jason Bateman, and they adapted a Stephen King novel, and it's going to be one of these slow detective shows that goes for a while. Yeah, it's going to be great.
I love Jason Bateman.
I'm sure the book is awesome. I don't read, so I don't really know.
I don't read either.
And then the football game I'm looking to is on Monday. It's the national championship game. Duh.
I also saw that Ozark Season 3 is coming soon.
In March, right?
Yeah.
And then in a week, I think it's Curb Your Enthusiasm debut. So we're getting into some good TV shows.
That's awesome.
All right.
Chicken!
Are you over the Mitch Trubisky, Mahomes, Watson thing? It's a very polarizing topic. People get very angry. And we'll also go over our confidence meter on the 8 quarterbacks playing. It's all coming up next.
This is Waddle and Sylvie.
For Shizzle My Pizzle.
Stalking fire feathers.
Afternoons from 2 to 6.
That's the essence of what Waddle and I used to preach.